You know what they say, Joshua, all good things must come to an end. This will be the very last episode we do on The Mandalorian until the next season comes out.
The last episode of two men in a DeLorean.
The pun that no one gets and the show that everyone loves.
Exactly. Yeah, this is Josh and Rob here, two men in a DeLorean, The Mandalorian season two after show from the Robcast podcast. Josh here. First thing, apologies for the late episode. We know that thousands of people
are dying to hear our opinions.
Yeah, they're crying alone in their rooms. They haven't gotten out of bed since the Mandalorian last episode came out because they haven't been able to listen to the two men in a DeLorean after show.
I love that you can't even say the name. That's how convoluted it is.
It's a mouthful. Anyways, apologies.
We were just working so hard.
I had a minor procedure done on my colon, but that's all cleaned up. Aside from the rash.
The colon or the procedure?
That was a good one. Both. My colon's still pretty clogged, but okay, the procedure is cleaned up.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's good. Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can barely even see the scar. Yeah. It's great.
It's good.
We talk about Easter eggs, cute Baby Yoda moments, and we give you the wildest, bonkers, most outlandish theories that are never going to become true.
So, stuff happened in this episode.
Stuff did happen.
We're going to get into it. We're going to get into the most important stuff right off the hat. But I'm just going to give a quick little summary just for those who might not have watched. Need a little refresher on this episode. So, Mandalorian. He and Cara Dune, Boba Fett, Fennec are still together. I guess they were together, right?
Dream team, yes.
Yeah, exactly. They're together. They go essentially meet up with Bo-Katan and Cosca Reeves. They're like, yo, come help us get Moff Gideon. You can have the Darksaber. Mm. Boom. They go together. Boba Fett is a decoy, is a ship. They're in the Imperial ship that they took command of when they abducted Dr. Pershing from the Imperial shuttle. So in this Imperial shuttle, managed to get access to the main cruiser where Moff Gideon is, basically. They go in, guns a-blazing. Bo-Katan, Cara Dune, Fennec, and Cosca, they go after, I guess, Moff Gideon.
Yep, she's going kicking butt.
Yeah, they're the main, I guess, group. They're also the decoy because Mando's going after the kid, after Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Boba Fett's just sitting in his ship somewhere, just drinking blue milk, being like, yeah. I wonder how it's going.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope all my friends don't die.
I hope they're okay.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so Mandalorian goes to Baby Yoda. On the way, he sees the Dark Troopers. They're getting ready to engage and kick some butt. But he manages to close the doors just in time. Only one gets out. Cool fight with the Dark Trooper, Mandalorian Dark Trooper. He gets the best of the Dark Trooper. Goes to Baby Yoda. Moff Gideon's there. They have it out. He manages to beat Moff Gideon using the Beskar spear to, I guess, counteract the Darksaber. Kicks Moff Gideon's butt. And he is able to take, I guess, possession of the Darksaber. At this point, he has Baby Yoda. Moff Gideon meets back up with Bo-Katan and the rest at the front of the ship. However, at this point, Mandalorian got rid of the Dark Troopers by basically ejecting them from the shuttle. They're back because they're robots. They don't breathe.
They fly, yeah.
The whole group's
together. Wait, they fly now? Oh my god, they fly now!
Didn't they always fly?
Yeah, they did.
Is that a bit?
Yeah, it's a bit from Rise of Skywalker. If you're a real Star Wars fan, you would get the bits, Joshua.
It's probably true. anyways, Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, their group, at the front of the ship, Baby Yoda, they're about to be murdered by the Dark Troopers, and then stuff happens. We'll get into it. Right off the hat.
Luke Skywalker, man. Luke Skywalker and Mando. We predicted it.
We literally predicted it. If you were listening to us all the way through, I'm pretty sure two episodes ago, we literally said that Luke Skywalker was going to come in the last episode.
Yeah, we were saying this by Ahsoka. Like, it's kind of a positive negative thing. Because like I thought, I was not expecting this to be the end of the season. I was expecting...
You weren't expecting the eighth episode in an eight episode season to be the end of the season?
No, I wasn't. I was expecting that to be like a secret episode.
Yeah.
Which it kind of was at the end of this and a nice little end credits scene. But the fact is that like this season in general, like looking back at it, it makes sense. But like we'll get to the season predictions. Let's talk about the episode for now.
Yeah.
This episode, very good episode. I love when they infiltrate Imperial bases. I feel like that's always where the show's strongest when they're kicking Imperial butts.
Yeah. I really like that they brought back Bo-Katan and Cosca. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what the series is missing in terms of continuity from episode to episode. Too many one-offs, but I really like that they brought them back. they're cool characters. And I think that we saw a little bit, this is going to head into next season, the relationship between Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, and kind of Mandalore in a sense.
Especially with the Darksaber now in play, and Mando having one in a Black Panther sort of gladiatorial, the rite of passage sort of thing.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so basically Mandalorian won the Darksaber, quote unquote, from Moff Gideon. He goes to give it to Bo-Katan, but that's not really how it works. It's kind of
like a trial sort of destiny, combat, yeah.
Sort of destiny type thing, right? So Bo-Katan's like, yeah, I can't take this. Basically, the Darksaber, you can expound on this more because I'm sure you know more about it, but it seems to be that whoever controls the Darksaber is like heir to the throne of Mandalore, has the right to rule Mandalore in a sense.
Exactly, yeah. Basically, Bo-Katan has never really followed these rules per se, mm-hmm. and it was kind of odd to see her doing like this, because in Rebels, she just takes the Darksaber from Sabine Wren in the exact same way.
Right.
And maybe like they're going to work that into a character in the fact that it's like, I once took it once and it was taken from me because I wasn't ready. I didn't earn it. So I like to see how it develops in the third season, because it looks like the third season is going to be Mando, Bo-Katan, Cassian Reeves, and who knows what happened to the other guy, Mandalorian, that they just...
Yeah.
Were they just like all eating lunch together? The dude went to the bathroom or something?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
And then...
They just took off?
Yeah, they just took off. Yeah. And like the tables broke and everything. Like, everyone like left the bar because of like the fights. It's like, damn, what happened?
Yeah.
Well, I love to see the Mandalorians duke it out, especially like with Boba and kind of the tension they have.
Yeah.
Because like he's not a real Mandalorian per se, he's a clone.
Mm-hmm.
But also you can kind of
get into that a little bit too, yeah, in this episode.
But he's also a foundling as well in a way.
Right.
Like, you know, my belief is that he isn't as much value to Mandalore as Din Djarin does. Because right. They both accept him to the culture. And it's interesting the fact that there's that tension between them. Because we have to remember, so basically Bo-Katan was second in command to Pre Vizsla of the Death Watch. And we kind of, her story in the Clone Wars is kind of one of realizing the true way of Mandalore is not one of war, is because she is a warrior, but she wants the best for her people. Mm-hmm. She's willing to do what it takes.
So I think let's just cut right to the chase, Rob. What did you think of Luke Skywalker coming at the end of this episode?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I feel this episode didn't really surprise me at all. Like, it was a good episode. I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It didn't surprise me because it was very predictable. I saw all the beats. It's like, as soon as the Dark Troopers were ejected, I'm like, but they can fly. Like,
I didn't think that.
Not gonna be
like, I mean, it was predictable though.
They had the thing where the Stormtrooper fell out of the ray shield and out of the ship. It's like, okay, this is, I saw everything coming, but it was still a good reveal anyway. I like how they just had the X-Wing come in.
Yeah.
Cardoon's like, one X-Wing, what's that gonna do?
Yeah, as soon as you saw the X-Wing, you're like, oh. I think it'll do a lot, Miss Cardoon.
I think you might be eating those words in a minute.
Yeah, and it was really cool how lots of people were saying this online, like kind of the parallels between Darth Vader's annihilation of the Rebel soldiers in Rogue One versus Luke kind of cutting through the Death Troopers here.
Dark Troopers, Joshua.
Whatever it's called. Yeah, it was very cool. CGI.
Yeah, I saw his face. It was fine. Like, no, it was not.
It was like Henry Cavill's mustache almost.
No, I don't know. Like, because,
look, it was
they kept his hood on for the most part, which is like, okay, good. They're not going to show the face. You know, have some stunt guy do all the action. And then they had the first shot, it was a wide shot. You see his whole body. The face was a bit, you know, blurry and distorted. It's like, okay, good. I'm not going to zoom on his face. Then they go right up to his face, close up. And then Mando takes off his helmet. We're going to get to this emotional beats of Mando and stuff. But between the contrast between seeing his crisp, beautiful face under the helmets and then Luke Skywalker's weird, digitally mucked up one, it didn't contrast too well.
No. Like, honestly, it was like your first kiss. It's familiar. You know who it is.
You have an issue with the first kiss
jokes. It's still foreign in a way. You know what I mean?
Okay, we have to do a quota. One first kiss joke per episode.
I only made one so far.
Yeah, so if you do another one, you're gonna have to pay the penalty.
Well, these jokes are kind of like your first kiss. They're a bit predictable. You know that they're coming, but every time they still make you smile.
Okay, write in what punishment Joshua should be, you know, exposed to if he does more than one first kiss joke. You're gonna have to like do a Star Wars rap in the episode.
If any listeners want to have their first kiss, DM us at RobcastPodcast1 on Twitter. At RobcastPodcast on Instagram.
Sweet. You know, I always edit the bits out when you speak into the mic.
The listeners love them. You can.
I hate them.
Okay, maybe I'll start editing from now on. Anyways,
that's one way I get you to do all the work in the podcast. Sure. I just like take out everything you like, and then I just win.
Yeah, and I don't never listen to the podcast, so I never find out.
Yeah. Anyway, though I love the I love when Luke does come in. He's just destroying them. Like we saw what formidable forces they were. I thought they might have been like a bit dumbed down because before they were a bit more lifelike, kind of like similar to K2SO.
Yeah,
like kind of just like they have a bit more emotion. They're a bit like hard, like they're Terminators.
Yeah, in a sense.
But they're also like able to like beat you up because when Mando fights them. It was intense. Like, he ripped the doors open. Yeah, he was, like, punching his helmet into the wall. It was awesome.
Yeah.
He was, like, fire and everything. And basically, when Luke fights them, it's more of just them just statically standing around.
Right. I would agree. Like, obviously, Luke has that raw power, but still, like, it is what it is, right?
It's always the fact that it's, like, I wish they just did, like, maybe, like, 10% more epic. Or just, like, the show's good, but, like, I feel like... they need to like do more superhero poses and stuff.
Yeah.
Just to make me look cool. Like honestly, like, cause people are just standing around. Just like, honestly, spread your legs, bend your knees. Looks 10% cooler. Always.
This is real life, Robert. This isn't a game.
No one uses their knees to lift things in real life. It's they say that in movies. It's not true. No one does.
No, it's kind of true. Yeah. This is why you have back problems.
This is why I have back issues. Yes.
It was very cool to see Luke. It's interesting to see how the continuity kind of develops. This is fully powered Luke, obviously, but
right off episode 6.
Let's get into the Grogu Mandalorian Luke stuff. So, obviously, kind of the heart of this show of the season so far has been the Mandalorian and Grogu's relationship, and we really have that heartwarming moment with him at the end. Mando takes off his helmet to look upon little baby Yoda for the last time before giving him to Luke to be trained, right?
Riven homage to when Vader wanted to take off his helmet so you can see his son with his own eyes at the end of episode 6.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so is Grogu murdered by Kylo Ren?
That's the big question because we know he's not in the sequel films. And there's been a rumor going around recently that they might have an alternate timeline where the sequel films take place.
They should do that.
They should really should do that. They should
retcon them out of canon.
Honestly, no one would be mad.
No one would be mad. Except, well, as long as they have Kylo Ren and Rey's passionate, loving relationship still be canon.
See, they're gonna do like a WandaVision thing. It's gonna be Reylo Vision. And basically, it's gonna be a sitcom. It's just them and having like Grogu as their like baby.
Oh my god, please. Can we please do that?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I want that.
That's gonna be the Robcast. That's gonna be on the YouTube channel. We're gonna make that.
We're
gonna get Blonde Wig, have you in it, and then we're gonna make that show.
We should legitimately do that.
Just Kylo like sunbathing in the backyard, like on the barbecue.
Yeah.
Having, you know, barbecues with all the First Order troopers, Captain Phasma rocks up. It's great.
It sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, it's a great sitcom. Like honestly, we need more Star Wars like similar to like Robot Chicken, like kind of just like the funny
type thing.
Yeah, Star Wars parody. Because I love what it did in the Star Wars Christmas special. I love when Star Wars gets made fun of and referential because Star Wars takes itself so seriously, and I love it. It creates a universe you can really get invested in with characters and motives. But I love when they do kind of the off-brand stuff, like with Star Wars in general, like all the animation stuff. Because as a kid, like I played those games on the internet. I watched all the Lego Star Wars stuff. I own way too much Lego Star Wars stuff. Like, I love when they make fun of Star Wars and they do all these things. And that's why I'd be like the Christmas special.
Yeah, parody's always been kind of my favorite too in terms of that. It's fun when you watch something, you love it, and then you see someone make fun of it. It's the best.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. It's like the How It Should Have Ended people. It's like, wait a minute. This is kind of dumb, but I still love it. I love it even more somehow.
Yeah. You say a lot about how this season of The Mandalorian really is about the Mandalorian finding out what it means to be a Mandalorian. How do you think the last episode really reflects that in his journey through this season?
I think it's huge, of course, because of course we see him taking off his helmet.
Yeah.
But it's also him defining...
Take off his helmet. What's that? He should take off his pants if he wants to really see BB.
What? It's gotten dark.
Continue.
Sorry, that bit. No, I'm keeping that in. Josh is canceled. Anyway, yeah, so it's just taking off his pants, being able to relax from Baby Yoda, just sitting on the couch in your underwear, just chilling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saved it, Joshua. You're not canceled anymore.
You should have like the Pantsalorian, where instead of taking off their helmet, they're just taking off their pants.
Yeah. So they're not allowed to take off their pants in front of other people.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
So it's like real life.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, okay, no. What do you mean? I'm not wearing any pants right now.
Oh my god, you're not. This is all getting edited out. I'll keep it in for the podcast listeners, but YouTube, you're not getting this.
This is great. Anyways, so answer my question.
What was the question?
How do you think the Mandalorian's journey through season two, realizing what it is to be a Mandalorian, how does the last episode kind of show that? Obviously, we touched on that a bit, but go for it.
Basically, I think there's two contributing factors to this. There's Bo-Katan and him kind of showing them the new way of Mandalore. I mean, the fact that it's a lot complicated than he originally thought of. It's not black and white. Like, this is your religion. This is like the cult following Mandalore.
Yeah, it's not black and white. It's not this is the way. It's
this is one of the ways.
Exactly.
Yes. But honestly, like, I feel like a lot of it goes out to one of the most underrated episodes of season two, episode two, with the frog lady.
Oh, the frog lady? Or was that the ice one where the spider comes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, I feel like that first three arc, like the first three episodes, and like in hindsight, it really connects. Like, the season wouldn't be the season without those three episodes. Because those three episodes are all about... Okay, no. Let me speak, Joshua. So basically, the frog lady plot, it shows the dedication to family and kind of it prepares Mando mentally for like this frog lady just loves her eggs so much. She's been trying so hard, gets to get them home just to protect them. Mm-hmm. She's risking her life. She's going with some random bounty hunter across the galaxy. She's fighting off demon spider babies. And I feel like it really changes Mando in the sense that it's like, even though he can barely understand this person,
he sees like the love for
He sees it and he learns to love and he's able to be more open to Grogu afterwards, because before it isn't just like he's able to express himself more because he's emotionally more intelligent now,
right?
In a sense,
that's actually a good point. I never really considered that before, because that was kind of what I was going to say about the season, is that I wish we had more moments where we saw him think of what it's like to be a Mandalorian and whatnot, because I think that could have been the through plot line that would have kind of given us some intrigue and whatnot heading into the final like few episodes, like the final Baby Yoda, Moff Gideon, Mandalorian standoff type thing, right? But it's interesting when you look at those episodes and that in the context of what you just said, that it is something interesting, something that I think would benefit from a rewatch of the season kind of.
Exactly, because if we think about this, the first episode we have Boba Fett, fake Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And basically that episode sets up Boba's starting point in the sense it's like, this is where he starts off. He is super embedded and believes in this cult. He is...
What, Boba Fett?
No, Mando.
Okay.
He's dedicated to it. He's not going to push. He sees anyone not Mandalorian wearing Beskar. He's going to kill them, rip the armor off of them. And then in the end, we see the transition between that episode. So when he goes back to Bo-Katan and he's, you know, talking to her and they have the same interaction, he acts differently this time. He doesn't immediately, you know, go and just shoot everyone out. He listens to them. He learns about the different Mandalorian culture. He learns that it isn't, you know, black and white. He learns that there's all these different subsections of the Mandalorian culture. There isn't only just one, you know, cult religion of Mandalorians. There's multiple.
Damn. Maybe I was like less hyped about these episodes because everything went over my head.
Maybe, but like, I don't know. Because if you think of it like this, it's a pretty tight season. Because then there's no filler.
Well, okay,
go ahead. I'll rebuttal any point. If you have anything against what I'm saying, say it, and I'll prove you wrong.
I agree with everything you're saying so far.
Okay. Well, basically, because think of it like this. First episode sets up Mando's baseline. This is where he's at now. He's protecting Grogu, his child, and he just wants to, A, protect him, and B, uphold the Mandalore. He wants to solve his quest. Okay. Then we move on to the frog lady things, which teaches him the emotional values, teaches him about family and what he is willing to do for family. Goes up to what Bill Burr says, you have the gun to your head, and you have to do what you need to do to protect the ones you love. And as long as you can sleep at night, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So basically, he goes and he does the frog thing. He meets Bo-Katan. He learns more about the Mandalorian culture, learns more about his culture, and the fact that he's been looking through a small hole his whole life, and a small... And the fact that he's been looking,
a mask.
Yeah. A small, you know, like the things on doors.
His perspective has been limited his whole life.
Because of the mask.
Yeah.
He can see like a T. Like, there's nothing like, he had no idea that you can see stuff like to the sides or like above your head.
Yeah. It's all crazy. A metaphor.
Yeah. It's a metaphor. Yeah. It works.
It's true. I think looking back after the final episode, I still agree with a lot of the points I made about filler and whatnot, but I think what I want to impress on people is that even though I think that the season could have more stakes early on and more through plot lines through the earlier episodes, I'm not saying the season was bad. The season was good.
Yeah.
Season was good. Every show has kind of like its... No show is perfect in a sense, right? And I think
That Rey and Kylo Vision show.
Yeah, except for Rey and Kylo's passionate love that will never be conquered.
Exactly. They're just too good.
Yeah, but shows... We're going to cut that out, so why would you mention that?
No, I'm keeping that in.
Okay, fine.
I have to now.
Every show has its faults. No show is perfect, right? So I'm not trying to disparage the show when I say that there's some filler episodes or that it lacks stakes. And I think looking at the season in totality, after you made a lot of good points regarding kind of how those earlier episodes shape Mando as a Mandalorian. And looking at it in the context of the last episode, I think it does give a bit of a... You're able to look at it more in a with a appealing eye, in a sense. Mm.
To wrap up, honestly, I feel like this is a good season. Like, people will say that it's just a show that it's going to be the backboard of 17 other shows. People literally say that. People are saying that it's just the cameo DeLorean at this point.
It
just,
everyone that I've seen talk about the show has been like loving it.
Yeah, but I feel like this is just the beginning of something incredible. Disney finally figured out Star Wars.
We'll see.
Because they have nothing to do with it. They're giving it to people who are dedicated, people who love this franchise, people who have been living this franchise their entire life and who have dreamt about being a part of it. People who have been bashing sticks together at age 8 pretending they're lightsabers. People who are just so dedicated to the show, making the show that they want to see because they are Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
They love what they're making and you can see the dedication and all the callbacks, all the references to expanded lore. Everything is just like, this is a love letter to Star Wars.
It's like your first kiss.
It's not like your first kiss. Joshua,
it's like your first kiss. Like, you have an appreciation for it. You've been waiting for this moment your entire life, and when you do it, you just go all in, no regrets.
Okay, wow. Well, you know, that's a perfect analogy, Joshua. How does that analogy work so well?
It works with everything. Literally everything is like your first kiss.
Like, okay, name one thing that isn't like your first kiss.
Your second kiss.
Oh my God. He's done it, guys. He's done it, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyways, yeah, no, the season was a good season. I didn't like love it. I wasn't in love with it, as in most people. I think that's okay. I respect your point of view. I respect the fact that most people love it. I just like a bit more action, a bit more not even action, a bit more stakes early on. Last episode, like, the season was a bit predictable in how it ended. Not much. I can't really say not much really happened. Lots of stuff happened. Yeah. Like, we got Bo-Katan, we got Ahsoka, we got Luke, we have
Baby R2-D2. We didn't even mention.
Yeah, him. We didn't even mention R2. That was sick too.
The fact that R2-D2 might have known Grogu.
I was more excited seeing R2-D2 than I was seeing Luke, Loki.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, finally somebody looks real, huh?
Yeah,
R2
looks very weird.
I think R2, like, oh, you had a weird CGI face. Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. They really botched CGI on R2. I don't know. Like, is it because he's older or something? But they were able to do Samuel Jackson really well in Captain Marvel. I thought they figured this stuff out. Like, even Tarkin was good in Rogue One. Like, his mouth didn't even move at all, Luke's. It was like just the upper lip just like moved 2 pixels up and 2 pixels down.
Even like Leia, right? In Rogue One looked okay. Maybe it's because he was moving more. I don't know. They used like a CGI version of his de-aged face digitally animated over a body double with the use of motion capture.
So basically a lot of stuff that probably cost a lot. Honestly, what they're doing is they personally, it's like, okay, it's not going to be perfect. Let's make something passable. And then in 10 years for DVD, we'll remaster the entire series and just fix the face.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
And we'll put T-shirt guy back in. T-shirt and jeans guy back from episode 4.
T-shirt and jeans guy.
No, because they actually digitally removed
them. They took
them
out. Yeah.
It's a crime. That. It really is.
Is it? But
it's an integral part of Star. Like, people are making like Lego sets and like action figure boxes around this character.
Yeah, with Jean guy.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I would give the season... I'd probably give the season a B.
A B?
Okay. Yeah, B to B plus.
I'll give it an A, just so there's room for improvement.
Sure.
But
yeah. So good season. Where they head next? We touched a bit on like the Bo-Katan stuff, the Darksaber stuff, Mandalore. Another indication of where they're going next was the post-credit scene.
Yes.
The Book of Boba Fett.
I thought this was a literal book. I didn't realize that was going to be the... Why call the show The Book of Boba Fett? Is it going to be like Boba Fett's journal? Someone's going to like find... Yeah. No, it's going to be Cobb Vanth finding the armor. And it's going to be like, here's the journal of me, Boba Fett's. And
I had cereal today.
It was dry because there's no water in Tatooine.
Fennec massaged my feet.
Yes. Because she's my slave now, apparently. Like she's just chilling with me. She has no other social life.
But it was cool to see him go back to Tatooine.
Yeah. Just... Why would he, though? That's the real question. He's a free man.
Revenge?
In the galaxy. Like, he's just, like he said, he's a man trying to make his way through the galaxy like his father before him.
Yeah.
What's there? Like, does he want to rule the Clan Syndicate? Did he, like, have, like, a super fun partying time at Jabba's palace? And then Han Solo had to hit his jetpack, throwing him into a Sarlacc pit.
Boba Fett, where?
Oh my god, ow! Ow, quit hitting me, man. I hate this bit. Every time you do this bit, you hit me.
It's part of the fun. Listeners enjoy it.
We have two bits. First kiss, which is horrible. Not even that funny. And then you hitting me on the podcast. Both. It's an audio-only service, Joshua.
Amazing bits. But yeah, I would think it's primarily revenge. He's back in Tatooine. He's getting revenge on everyone who ever wronged him.
No.
But no... Seriously, though, actually, it's there's more info came out just today in an article. It's actually a spinoff of Teenage Bounty Hunters, the show that was released on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah, so he goes to Earth into, like, I think it's in suburban Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And he teams up with, oh, God, what are their names? Don't tell me.
I forgot their name. Oh, my God.
No, he teams up with Sterling and Blair.
Gotcha.
And they kind of run their own bounty hunter business, basically. Mm-hmm. There's teen hijinks. Boba Fett has his first kiss.
Do they go to space, though? It's a real question. The end of the season, do they go to space and other intergalactic teenage bounty hunters?
Yeah, I think how it goes is that they don't realize that he's, like, from another planet and whatnot. And they're just like, yeah, they're like, oh, this is cool old guy. I don't know. We'll chill with him. We'll bounty hunt with him. And then, like, the last episode is them realizing, and then they go into space.
Maybe it's, like, a thing where it's, like, they send a hitman to, like, get the... It's like, it was the final test of their bounty hunter-ness. Can you survive being hunted? So they
in high school.
Oh, my God. So, like, it's like they send out an intergalactic call for the best bounty hunter, which is Boba Fett. So he's to hunt them, and they have to hunt Boba Fett, and it's who can get the other one faster. But in the end, they become friends.
They're skilled enough for that.
No?
No. I think it's better if they're just clueless and he's their mentor. Okay, and they, like, teach him how to... I don't know, do a TikTok or something.
Just Boba Fett doing TikTok. That's great.
Is this how you floss?
Yes.
Is this still a relevant reference?
Now this is really going to age this podcast.
Yeah. But so how do you see the Book of Boba Fett TV series going?
I can see it pretty interesting. I definitely want them to kind of go off format, The Mandalorian. I definitely kind of want it to be kind of a more serious, gritty take. Like, more of the fact it's like Boba Fett's just kind of this wild animal consumed with, like, rage. Just... underneath this layer of just I'm this peaceful clone guy, because you do see that, like, when he beats up the stormtroopers with Gaffy stick, when he's about to like mess up Bo-Katan and her friend in, like, the bar,
when they were at the little squabble,
he's so, you know, he's that bit of anger in him, which I kind of like. It's recharacterizing this character that had no characterization.
We just knew him as Boba Fett, the super cool Boba Fett,
the guy who just looked cool and had a jetpack. Coolest guy in town. But I definitely really hope that they go into the fact that there's murmurs about a Jedi somewhere in the galaxy with a purple lightsaber.
It's not gonna happen, Rob.
And he has to hunt down Mace Windu and get revenge for his father, who was decapitated by the hand of Mace Windu in episode 2, right in front of Boba Fett.
That would be cool, but
it's
Shakespearean
drama.
Yeah, I can't see them bringing back little Mace.
Mace Daddy. Samuel Jackson's up for coming back. He said that he's fine for coming back. Mace Windu would not have died by being thrown out of that window. They're biding their time.
Okay.
George Lucas did that so that he would have options with him.
Right.
So he didn't want to kill him flat out. The plan was always to bring Mace back in some capacity.
Right. Interesting. Well,
I'm really surprised Disney haven't done that yet. Just like, oh, it's like, oh, yeah, we just bought Star Wars. Let's do everything right now. Let's make a ton of movies and a ton of TV shows.
So what I want to see is the Book of Boba Fett TV series takes place, let's say...
Is there going to be a time jump?
Yeah, there's going to be a time jump.
Okay.
It takes place maybe... it takes place in the alternate timeline, 15 years after The Mandalorian, season 2.
So, like, in the time of the new era, like, as in, like, the new movies.
But, right? Like, in an alternate timeline.
Oh, okay.
So basically,
so no Raylo.
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
It goes off like the Boba Doubtfire thing that we talked about last episode. So he's hired to assassinate Luke, but to infiltrate it, he has to pretend to be a nanny to Luke's children.
In the Jedi temple that he has.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
And so he's pretend to be a cleaning droid.
He has to pretend to be a nanny to the children. Yeah. So he's with the children all the time, trying to kill Luke. But there's a bunch of hijinks ensue. He's not able to kill Luke. He like shoots Luke through a window, but then Luke's baby uses the Force to like deflect the blaster at Boba's head or something.
It's kind of like, it's like, oh, Luke's like, it's like walking down the hallway. Boba like lines up the sniper shot. It's yeah. like, my shoe's untied. Better go tight. He bends out of the sniper yeah. shot, just goes over.
It's like a mirror and goes right back at Boba.
Yeah. Oh. yeah. Just like, like I said, that's a better series than probably half the stuff we're gonna get.
Legit. We've got some good pitches today.
Yeah, we did. Like, this is the ultimate pitch episode. This is the season recap.
Yeah.
But how do you think Fennec Shand's gonna come in this? Because she is seeming to be a character they're gonna explore in great detail. Because she's, of course, in the new Bad Batch trailer.
Oh, God, is she? There's a trailer for that?
Yeah, for the Clone Wars animated series they're going to do in the Bad Batch, which is, of course, a spinoff of the Clone Wars.
It's animated.
It's animated.
When's it set?
During Order 66.
Okay.
Because basically, the last season of Clone Wars is set in the events leading up to Order 66, with Order 66 being the very last episode.
Interesting. And these are all, like, just mercenaries together kissing or something.
No, right? Bad Batch is actually a elite clone force unit.
Okay.
So elite squad made of clones that have been genetically altered and have mutations that are desirable. So some of them are super strong, advanced intelligence. One of them has advanced senses, so we can like smell stuff real good.
Fair enough. Okay, where does Fennec Shand fit into that?
She appeared in the trailer. So
like just standing?
It was like her famous, like the same outfit. It's like she hasn't got new clothes in 30 years.
Fair enough. Interesting. Yeah. How will she fit in? I guess, I don't know.
She has a robot stomach. Maybe
she'll just be chilling with Boba Fett. I don't know, feeding him grapes or something.
Maybe. To be fair, do they know each other before though?
That's no, I think Boba Fett saved her life, right?
And then that's it. That's like
probably the first time he was like chilling in the Sarlacc pit, reading like novels. Mm-hmm. Stuff
and then you got like defecated out of there.
Yeah, that's the theory. I don't want to.
It's like, what's the cool way? Oh, they're gonna finally explain how Boba Fett got out of the Sarlacc pit. Don't do it. Leave it a mystery.
Yeah, honestly.
Don't do it. I'm saying, matter. Disney, you're gonna make this show. Just don't give us an answer.
It doesn't matter.
Like that's the beauty of Boba Fett. The character is built upon us 8-year-old kids beating each other up with wooden sticks. Just coming up with weird stuff using our imagination.
Actually, that would have been a better name for the TV show. The Beauty of Boba Fett.
The Beauty of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like the name. The Book of Boba Fett.
I like it. It's like, it inspires like lore and a saga. Like a, you know what I mean? It's like the olden days. Like the Book of Boba Fett. Like this.
Because I honestly thought it was going to be a book. I'm like, oh, I would read that. Like a literal. Yeah,
it's, writes books about Tatooine?
Exactly, yeah. It's like, oh, I love the sands. The coarse and dry and I love how they just feel me to my toes. My genetically toes. My clone toes.
So like stomach acid burned off all the nerve endings in my toes. Only feel so things I don't now feel off to the sand.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it, Joshua.
Yeah, did we talk about everything in the episode?
Oh, we still haven't done our famous segments, did we?
What cute things did Baby Yoda do this week? Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.
So this week we had the return of Baby Yoda, which was good. Since last episode, we no Baby Yoda moments.
That's true.
People were crying out for this segment.
So Robert, what cute things did Baby Yoda do this week?
Well, we did see the return of the little Baby Yoda handcuffs, which I just find adorable. Like his tiny little ray shield handcuffs.
Yeah, just sitting on the little bench, Moff Gideon holding the darksaber to his neck.
Yeah, just adorable. He's so cute. He's so grown up.
Yeah, and then he was in the head of the ship, I guess. He was like touching the screen and peeking out of things.
He was so like sad and tired, and then like Luke came along and he was like ears just like pricked up a little.
Yeah.
Like honestly, the puppetry is like really good. Like they definitely stepped it up. There's a lot more emotion being conveyed. And I think a few times we actually did have a digital Baby Yoda double.
Yeah.
And like throughout this, I don't think there's any in this episode. Season two, episode two.
Right.
There's a bit where he was like eating the spider egg. I think that was like a completely digital Baby Yoda. That's definitely one of the things I'm going to look out for when I'm watching the season again. I want to see if I can spot where they use the digital double.
That's interesting.
Where it's puppeted.
Yeah, I didn't even notice, which shows obviously how good both options are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Except when it's digital doubles of real life Mark Hamill.
Yeah, that's a different story. But the question is, will we ever do this segment again?
Exactly. Will Baby Yoda be gone for? I think Moff Gideon's going to escape. He's a very high-ranking Imperial. Someone out there is going to get him and break him out, and then he's going to be back for Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
He has the blood, but there's always going to be a need for more testing.
And there still was the ambiguity of what he was doing with that blood, right? Mm. Like, was he using it for the Dark Troopers? I don't think that was it.
No, I think that was just a theory fans kind of came up with. The fact that in some canon, Dark Troopers are Force-sensitive.
Right.
But I think it's more the fact that he's trying to clone Palpatine or do some sort of Force-sensitive cloning Snoke-related stuff.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, if they do want to split that off to kind of a alternate universe, kind of Star Wars alternate timeline, you could do that, and that plot line still makes sense. Because they left it open enough that you can branch off and do other things if they do decide to split off the timelines.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I think that'll definitely be something we see in Season 3. Like, what that is being used for.
No, but I definitely feel like Boba Fett rocking up some of the Mandalorians. Next season's going to be the... I feel like next season's going to step into the action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be... Like, they're going to have to, like, do something completely crazy to compensate Baby Yoda not being there. Because maybe they're going to get, like, a baby Jar Jar Binks or something.
Baby Jar Jar, oh my god.
A baby Jabba the Hutt. Oof. And he has to, you know, get Jabba the Hutt.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, just like, oh, maybe he starts like an orphanage and he has to like get all these little alien babies home.
There should be the new show. Like every season he has like a new child. And he has to like reunite.
Yeah.
He could have Rey. He has to reunite Rey with her.
Oh my god.
He has to reunite adult Rey with adult Kylo.
Adult Kylo.
He's like a matchmaker now. He transitions to being a matchmaker.
Yeah. So it's like behind the curtain. It's like, oh, do you like boy number one?
Yeah.
Boy number two.
Kylo likes to sit in his room in the dark. And idolizes Darth Vader.
If I have one question to ask you, Kylo, is how many children have you ever murdered?
Three. That's less than Anakin.
Whoa. Good. That means he's a redeemable character. Because Anakin was redeemed after murdering all those children. Yeah, it's still less than Grogu.
That's true, yeah.
To be fair, those were unfertilized eggs. But, you know,
we don't need to
the
get,
potential for life, the ethical debates...
Yeah.
We exclusively only talk about politics on this podcast.
Yeah, Joshua. 100%.
So Joshua, before we sign off, let's quickly do our famous segment, Easter eggs that we love to hate. There's a few really cool Easter eggs in this one. Of course, we mentioned the Terminator references, the Dark Troopers kind of being the big hulking robots of like death. I really do like one reference though that they had. When they were going to find Bo-Katan, they land the Slave One. And beside that, there's a certain type of ship that Clone Wars fans recognize as the Mandalorian ships that they do use. It's very kind of reminiscent of the original. I think it's like some sort of Ralph McQuarrie design as well. Mm-hmm. Those are original ships, but I just love seeing the live action interpretation of that. And I think that's gonna be the ship of choice next season, Mandalorian ships. And I definitely want to see them kind of explore the other types of Mandalorian, because there's all these different clans and stuff. Like Bo-Katan's, the Night Owls are just one of the many types. And I'm definitely going to see a lot of that next season.
Right, because I guess the Corvus or whatever it's called is gone now, right? So Razor Crest. Damn it.
The Corvus. I think the Corvus is the...
Isn't that the planet that...
It's a planet or another... I think it's a planet.
It's a planet, yeah. Anyways.
But we also had R2-D2 and Luke Skywalker, of course.
Yep. And the music, obviously, too, that played during their appearance was cool, reminiscent of the New Hope.
The music that I did really enjoy, though, was the Dark Trooper music. The techno dubstep.
Oh, yeah!
Awesome. was so awesome.
You got your 8-bit dubstep.
Like, that was just...
Was it?
I don't know. Like, it gave us such a, like, intimidating style to it.
It was fine. It was cool.
Like, because they're just loading up, and it's, like, a really slow build-up, and then you finally get to it, and then Mando closes the door and they just grapple out. That was such an amazing
fight. That fight between him and the Dark Trooper is probably like the coolest. Him, Dark Trooper, and him, Moff Gideon were the coolest kind of
Luke action sequences.
Killing people. Yeah. They had some really nice action pieces in this episode.
Yeah. Peyton Reeve, who of course directed Ant-Man, really did a great job on this.
Yeah, that's true. It's they got a big dude.
And he also directed the second episode with a giant ant in it. So it all connects in the end.
It all comes together.
Just like this podcast and the seamless transition that I'm doing right now, bringing the entire episode together. Wow, Joshua, wasn't that a great transition?
It was amazing.
Thank you.
So this is the last episode of Two Men in a DeLorean.
Make sure you come back next week for the Robcast podcast review. We talk about all the Star Wars news that's coming up. and all the future projects is going to be in store. And of course, the Rob-mas Christmas special
Merry will Rob-mas. Be out
on Christmas Eve.
Are you putting it on Christmas Eve?
That's the deadline. We're getting it done by Christmas Eve.
Yeah, hopefully we put it on the 23rd. You can listen to it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
all things Christmas, favorite Christmas movies, Christmas foods. Mm-hmm. I stab Robert in the neck with a candy cane.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a blast.
We hope everyone has a good holiday season. And from Robcast to you, Rob out.